Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete. And here's your host, Pete Chiarella, only on Jackalope Radio.
Well, it's another wonderful holiday weekend, Labor Day. I don't know why they call it Labor Day, because basically the only people that are off are government employees, banks, post offices, corporate executives, corporate fucking people. The rest of us gotta fucking work. So, why the fuck do they call it Labor Day? And if anybody's been following the news lately, you know that the fast food workers all went on strike for higher wages because, let's face it, you can't feed a family on $8 and change an hour, and that's all these joints are paying. And yeah, it sort of sucks, and people like sort of look down on these people, like they're bottom feeders and stuff like that. Well, if you're all, you know, everybody growing up probably worked at a fast food joint, myself included, for a while. And yeah, it's a shitty job. You got to take a lot of shit from fucking customers. You got to be nice. You got to be pleasant, and the turnover is tremendous. But these people work hard, and they shouldn't be shit on like they are. And like they said, they want to double what they're making. They want $15 an hour. And they said if they paid $15 an hour, they would have to raise the dollar menu by a quarter or 50 cents. Well, fucking do it then. What's the big whoop? I'd rather have a happy fucking employee there than somebody disgruntled spitting in my fucking cheeseburger.
I agree. The only thing I wish was they were a little more eloquent. I mean, the problem, like, one of the first cities to do it was here in Kansas City, naturally, because we do have a problem a little bit here with attitudes. And you know, the urban attitude here is tremendous. And these guys went out there and all walked out of their jobs and started screaming and acting ridiculous. But the Ebonics were so thick, I couldn't even understand what they were saying. And they had these attitudes, and they're shoving people, and I'm like, man, let's not do it that way. Let's be more eloquent about it. Let's tell people exactly what you want, and let's be realistic. Some people just are not worth $15 an hour, though some people really are. It all comes down to, I think, the amount of ability that a worker has, and, you know, a level of decency is what it is. And if a guy's got a couple of kids and he's a hard worker, give the guy some money. I agree with you completely. But if it's one of these people that are just, you know, trying to milk the system and, oh, I need to be making me some more money, $15, $16 an hour, man, really? Because in all honesty, at this point, there's barely any jobs paying that kind of money. So it's kind of a difficult task. You know, you got to look at it like, you know, there's, and then on top of that, you got Obamacare messing everything up, forcing corporations to do things, and it's messing everything up because it's making them cut hours, and it's just a weird, weird situation out there. And I'm not in any way, I know someone's going to write in, he's racist. I'm not at all. I believe everyone should be equal. That's the problem, is I believe we should all be equal, not...
The problem is that some people want to be more equal than others.
Right, right.
That's the whole thing. And as far as the Ebonomics, you're right. I mean, you know, don't go to fucking work with an attitude just because you didn't fucking finish high school, you chose to drop out, you chose not to better yourself, and you chose to embrace whatever this Ebonomics fucking thing is. This isn't what Martin Luther King had envisioned, and you know, that was like, what, 50 years ago? The I Have a Dream speech?
Yeah.
Well, somehow I don't think in his dream was Puff Diddy, rap, hip-hop, the Crips and the Bloods, gangbangers, drive-by fucking shootings, and all this other shit that
people
goes
looting
on.
in California, even when the thing happened in Florida, everybody starts looting in California. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. But, you know, fuck that. Let's get off that, because they're going to call us fucking racist no matter what we do. And they're, you know, no matter how you slice it, there's people that are, that black people that hate white people that hate black people, and the root fucking cause is ignorance. That's what it is. I dealt with this shit in Manhattan. And, you know, I don't know if I ever told this story, where basically there was this black dude that came in, and he tried to fucking, you know, jackpot me with the fucking bill that I wrote out that he changed on the way up, and I called him out on it. And Norman goes, well, nice fucking going. I go, what do you mean? I just fucking straightened that out. He goes, you didn't straighten anything out. He goes, that guy just got out of jail for manslaughter. I said, oh, really? So I'm like, okay, now I got a fucking problem because you ain't going to back down where I worked. You know, that's, you know, the minute you back down, the minute they're going to fucking snowball all over you. So when this guy came in with his attitude, I walked up to him. I says, well, we can fucking straighten out our situation one of two ways. We can go outside and beat the shit out of each other, which ain't going to solve nothing. Or you can just forget about what happened yesterday. You and I can sit down and I can show you how to make some money. So he goes, you can show me how to make some money. I go, yeah, that's what you're fucking here for. You want to buy shit to hustle, right? So I showed him a few of my old tricks when I used to hustle, and we became friends, and he was one of the few people that actually bought me a bottle around Christmas. So that's the way you fucking handle it, with fucking intelligent discussion. Not this, you know, I'm going to cut you, Whitey. I'm going to cut you because, you know something? You want to pull a blade, I'll pull a fucking knife. I'm gone, that's all. Let's not be fucking stupid. You know, we all got to live here. We all got to semi-get along, and, you know, that's the fucking problem. It's ignorance in the way certain people are brought up. So, well, fuck that. Let's get off that fucking tangent. Something happened this week that, you know, made me think about how certain stars are fucking douchebags and other stars aren't. And I'm going to throw it right out there. Sylvester Stallone will be appearing at the New York Comic Con, signing autographs for $395 a pop, and posing for a picture with you for $450 a pop. Is that fucking ridiculous or what? And I know you were, as I was, you were more friends with Sage, his son, than I was. I had a passing acquaintance with him. But now, I got to look at this. Here's a guy who's, you know, oldest son. I guess Sage was his oldest kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For whatever reason, he's sort of disconnected from Sage. Let Sage, you know, pretty much live in a pretty fucking shitbowl area of Los Angeles, hang around with some people that, you know, didn't have his best interests at heart, and look at the end result. The kid's dead. Now, I don't know. I never delved into the whole, you know, how he died, what caused his death thing, but this kid was on a ton of fucking antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication and shit like that. So where the fuck was Dad? Out shooting Expendables too. So now, you know, what is this $450 for a fucking photo op? What is this $395 for an autograph? Do you forget where you fucking came from, you fucking douchebag? If it wasn't for the goddamn fans, you wouldn't be fucking anywhere in this world. So how do you react? You know, you do stupid fucking shit is what you did. And a lot of people were down on Stallone for a lot of reasons. Number one, he plays Rambo, a courageous Vietnam vet, when he went to fucking Sweden as a draft dodger and shot a little nudie porn film while he was over there. Party at Kitty and Stud's place. Highly requested in the porno industries. His first film, you know, Rocky, he didn't direct. John Alvinson directed that. Some people think he did, but he didn't. Yeah, he wrote a good, you know, good underdog story, and it fucking worked. Worked so well, he had to, like, revisit it how many fucking times? 5 or 6 times? And remake Rocky Balboa? Fuck. And, you know, it's not only him. It seems that every fucking action star from the 80s has become a total fucking douche. Let me run down the list. Let me take a swig of something first. I've already done the Stallone thing, but I can add to that. You know, leaves his wife, hooks up with that over 6 foot blonde Bridget Nielsen, and puts her in a couple of movies. And then even Schwarzenegger said that when he was directing, was acting like a fucking lunatic, walking around with a megaphone and a fur coat. And, you know, at 50 something years old, on the set of The Expendables, instead of getting a stunt double to do a fight scene with an ex-wrestler who had a broken neck and has bad knees, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you do the fight scene and you wind up with a legit broken neck. How fucking stupid is that? Stuntmen, that's what they're there for, Sly. Stuntmen.
You.
Okay. Going down the list of superstar action star douchebags of the 80s, let's go around to Jean-Claude Van Damme, a guy who was fond of sidekicking his wife when she got out of control, as told to me by the late, great Brian James. Another cool Van Damme story was, it surfaced, was he was in some kind of like gay fucking film shot in France, some softcore gay thing where I think somebody fondled his nutsack. And the best Van Damme story I can tell you is that he was in a bar in New York or a nightclub or something, and when his bodyguard went to the men's room, Van Damme started talking shit about him. And, you know, the guy comes back, you know, has a few drinks, and one guy walks up to him and says, you know, while you were taking a leak, this guy was talking shit about you. And, when, you know, this guy walked up and went to Van Damme, you know, what's your problem? You know, why were you doing this? And when Van Damme went into his supposed stance, this guy kicked the piss out of him. Here's a supposedly legit martial art guy, you know, whatever the fuck it is, and his bodyguard kicks the shit out of him. And his excuse was, I lost my stance. You know who his bodyguard was at the time?
Who's that?
The former president of New York City Hell's Angels, Chuck Zito, who went on to be a star himself in Oz and a couple other movies. Amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Now let's go down the list here to Chuck Norris, another guy, a stone-faced actor with, you know, virtually no talent in martial arts skills. Another guy who didn't go to Vietnam and plays a Vietnam vet in the Missing in Action series. And was called out by a real-life Vietnam vet, Charles Haidt, who played Renko in Hill Street Blues. And Chuck hadn't done a lot in a while, and his part of his deal with coming into the Expendables 2 was it had to be rated PG-13 because Chuck couldn't appear in an R-rated movie. Why? I don't get it. Now, let's move on here to everybody's favorite scumbag, Steven Seagal. A guy who basically on the set of Out for Justice kicked Bill Forsythe's teeth out, his front teeth. Didn't like being upstaged by Mr. Forsythe, who basically chewed all the scenery in the film, was the only reason to watch it. So he went into the editing room and tried to edit as much of Bill's stuff out as he possibly could. Another wife beater who used to beat on his ex, Kelly LeBrock. Now, as his career progressed, so did his girth. And the best story I ever heard about Steven Seagal was he was doing some kind of exhibition in Los Angeles when an 80-something-year-old man named Judo Jean LaBelle kicked the shit out of him. And again, the standard answer was, I lost my stance or I wasn't ready yet. You're supposed to be a martial artist trained by the fucking CIA, the Yuzuka, or some other fucking bullshit story that you spewed out in the beginning of your career, which nobody's been able to pin down that you trained in some kind of fucking dojo that was used by the ancient samurais or something like that. So yeah, another guy who basically, you know, flounders through life, and at his first supposed convention appearance that was supposed to be a chiller theater, he no-showed the first day of the fucking show to do something that got him more money in New York, from what I understand. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. Now, who else do we have? Arnold Schwarzenegger, a guy who, if he didn't star in The Terminator, might still not be famous. So he goes on to be the governor of California, a guy we're all supposed to look up to, and while he's being the governor of California, he's banging his Mexican housekeeper and has a kid out of wedlock by her. Now, is that an example he's supposed to set for us all? Now he supposedly doesn't have any money, he went back to acting, and nobody gives a fuck because nobody's going to see his movies. Another guy, Bruce Willis. This is the guy who Stallone himself called greedy and lazy. That's the pot calling the fucking kettle black. You're trying to get $400 for a fucking autograph and $450 for a photo op, and you're calling Willis greedy because he wanted an extra $1 million to appear in Expendables 3. Now, Bruce has his own problems, being that he married Demi Moore and wind up getting dumped for a younger guy, Ashton Kutcher, who looks like these guys were having marathon fucking sex parties, and she left Ashton too. So Bruce got left in the dust, and his franchise, the Die Hard series, which was great when it was R-rated, deteriorated into a PG-13 fucking mess. Now, the creme de la creme, Mel Gibson, Lethal Weapon, Mad Max, who in later life decided to go off on racist rants against the Jews. Well, Mel, who the fuck do you think controls Hollywood? And now I think your next role is going to be in Machete 2, following in the footsteps of Robert De Niro, who I really can't say nothing bad about, but his career took a nosedive because, you know, they don't make any more fucking mafia movies anymore. Well, they make them, but not with him in them. So here are all these action stars of the 80s who, you know, are just complete fucking douchebags. Now, how do they stack up to the action stars of the 70s? Clint Eastwood. You know, a guy who worked his way up, did spaghetti westerns, went back, wanted to direct, basically, you know, achieved his career. And the only thing, you know, that's bad about Clint, anybody can say, is he was a womanizer. Charles Bronson, another guy who worked his way up from a character actor, you know, to superstardom. And I can't recall anybody saying anything bad about Charlie. Lee Van Cleef, another guy, former veteran, as was Bronson, who basically, you know, was a character actor, was disgusted with his career, quit, got brought back for spaghetti westerns, became a superstar doing spaghetti westerns, and the only bad thing you could say about him was he drank a lot. But regardless of whether he drank a lot, there was no public fucking bullshit like the rest of these guys. Lee Marvin, another decorated war hero, was wounded, got a Purple Heart in World War II. Came back, another guy who was a great character actor, worked his way up to superstardom. Yeah, Lee drank. Yeah, Lee got sued for palimony by Michelle Triola, who pretty much was banging half of Hollywood at that time. But again, I really can't, you know, other than his drinking, I never heard anybody say anything bad about him. And then other guys that, you know, held out through the 70s, John Wayne, another superstar, a patriot. A lot of people say, you know, stuff about John Wayne, but, you know, the only thing you can say about him was he drank and he smoked. Same with Robert Mitchum, another guy who started in the 40s and lasted up until the 80s. Another guy who was a heavy drinker, but as a performer and as an actor, you know, other than a couple few instances in public, you know, with, you know, press people and other assorted douchebags, and also taking one of the first busts for marijuana when it was basically a jail sentence, you really can't say anything bad about him, and I don't recall anybody else saying anything bad about him. So, you know, this just blows my mind that, you know, one generation to another, you got some really fucking great, talented people. And, you know, you go into these 80s things, and, like, I'm not going to say they're untalented, because they're not, but they're a crop of fucking douchebags. Liars, womanizers, boozers, you know, whatever. It's amazing, isn't it?
It
really
is.
Nuts. Yeah. And, you know, like I say, you know, Stallone started me off on this fucking tirade because, you know, as good as he was, he did a bunch of stinkers too. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, Rhinestone. And so did Schwarzenegger. Last Action Hero, you know, a bunch of crap toward the Red Sonja. What the fuck? But, damn. Now, I'm going to get away from that because I already shot my load on that, my proverbial load, you know, so to speak. Now, there's been a lot of shit going on with conventions, and it's come to light about, you know, these celebrities doubling their prices from $20 to $40, sometimes in the middle of a show. At a recent convention, the cast of Being Human decided to up their prices in the middle of the show. I'm going to read you something that was written by a person that you and me both hold near and dear in respect, and this was posted on his website. Starts off, hello everyone. I want to start off by saying thank you so very much for all the great birthday wishes you all sent me this year, as well as the Facebook, Twitter, and website post. That was truly inspiring and made me feel great. When I started in this business 51 years ago, I had no idea what to expect. I just wanted to do my work the best I could and hope that people liked it. I never really knew how you, the viewers, felt. There were no blogs or review sites or social sites since there was no internet. So no one really had a public forum to voice their feelings. There were no conventions to meet and greet and hear firsthand how the public felt. But all that changed with the release of House of 1,000 Corpses and an entirely new generation of viewers. Through your comments on the internet and your reactions to my presence at conventions, I came to realize what I was doing was getting through to the people who mattered, really mattered the most, the fans. I can't stress this enough. You were the ones that make it all happen. You buy the tickets, the DVDs, and all the crazy merchandise that we actors put out there. I have met and enjoyed meeting so many of you at conventions, screenings, and chance meetings on the street. I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you so very much for your kindness, support, and encouragement. Thanks to you all, I am doing a personal record number of conventions this year, and I would like to thank you all for making this possible by giving you this vow. I will never raise my convention prices ever in capital words. Capital letters, rather, for any reason. Here and now, I swear that to all of you. My prices are and always will be $20 for an item that you buy from me and $10 to sign an item of yours. The day I ask you for money to take a picture with me with your own camera is the day I give you all permission to put your boots all up in my ass. Regardless of whether I am not scheduled for a pro photo op in an event, you will always, in capital letters, be able to get your free table shots whether you purchase something or not. That is my vow to you, the fans, just a small way of showing my appreciation. Once again, thank you so very much for being there for me in so many ways. Your fan, Sid Haig. Now, isn't that fucking cool or what?
That's awesome.
Yeah. In a business where it seems that it's more important to make as much money as you possibly can in a fucking weekend, and sometimes, most of the times, more than most of us actually make in an entire year, here's a guy that realizes his roots and appreciates the very people that brought him to the dance, the fans. And, you know, I have a relationship with Sid, as so do you, and it is an honor to consider the man a friend, and have met him on so many occasions and had, you know, so many great moments with him. We've had him on the radio. You know, he always pops the ratings and things like that, but that isn't why we have him on. He's a true gentleman. He's a credit to the business, and I can't say enough about him. And other people should take heed of what he does for his fans. You know, maybe $20 is a little too cheap for a lot of you people, but other than that, what do you got? I mean, come on. A lot of you people rely on conventions to make your money. You hook up with scumbag guest reps who make you jump through fucking hoops, put you in photo ops, and do all this other shit. And somebody said something about photo ops, and this is was put on by one of the guys on the convention's page on Facebook of the total for what Norman Reedus got for a photos taken for one day. $6,920. That's what he got for a Friday night from Celebrity. It was Fan Expo Canada, August 22nd to 25th. It was a Celebrity Session Report. This was his payout for Friday. $6,920. Is that a little bit fucking ridiculous or what?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm not knocking Norman Reedus. Don't get me wrong. I understand Norman Reedus is a nice guy. He's very cordial to the fans. I also heard an incident where
I got mail?
What the fuck was that?
That's weird.
Yeah. Not me. I also heard there was an incident with a couple of young fans that were, they were standing there talking to him while his guest rep was near him. And they asked if they could take a picture with their phone camera. And the guest rep said, "We have to pay for that." And Norman turned to him and says, "Why should they pay? They know more about The Walking Dead than you do."
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Fuck that shit. It's ridiculous. So, you know, some guys are the good guys, and unfortunately, they're few and far between. But, you know, Sid, God bless him, is one of the good guys. And special announcement for Wasteland, not the upcoming one in October. We've already filled the bill with that. But for April, we have confirmed one guest who has never done a convention ever. As a matter of fact, she's an adult film star. She was very hot in the 70s. And she was involved with Jamie Gillis for a while. Appeared in Insatiable, Ecstasy Girls, a lot of classic retro porn. And she just virtually vanished for years. Nobody knew where she was. Nobody knew what the hell happened. Rumors abounded that she was dead. She was a druggie. She was this. She was that. Well, no, all those rumors were unfounded, because joining us for the April Wasteland 2014 will be none other than adult superstar Serena. Now, how do you like that?
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And somebody had posted on one of the things that a lot of us have to stop this ghoulish, quote, digging up of old porn stars. Well, nobody's really, as far as I know, I mean, you know, there's some fans that are obsessive fucking stalkers, and we know who they are, and we know we've all had problems with them in the past, but, you know, some of these people don't really realize what a fan base they have because they're out of the business so long, and I think Serena was one of them. And, you know, some of them are just tickled to death to be rediscovered. I mean, we've had Ginger Lynn, we've had Sharon Mitchell, we've had Carter Stevens, Sika's making a return appearance because she just had her book out. And these people are tickled pink that, you know, people are tickled pink. That's a bad fucking choice of words for a female porn star, but I just said it anyway. But anyway, they're just, you know, really happy to be rediscovered and connecting with their fans. Other people that we've contacted, like Christy Canyon, want no part of it. So, you know, I can understand that. You know, some of them have their own little websites, and that's how they make their money. But, you know, that's the way that, you know, the ball rolls. So that's going to be really cool, and it's going to be, you know, another great show, and we're all gearing up for the October Wasteland with the Hills Have Eyes reunion. And I'm sure we'll have CinemaWasteland.com Ken on here, maybe a couple of the people who are going to show up at the show. So that's all good to look forward to. 1 minute left. Well, I guess I'll just wrap this one up, and I'll just wish everybody listening to have a happy and safe Labor Day, and to all the poor bastards that are working, don't let it get you down. You got to do a job, but hopefully maybe this whole minimum wage thing will turn around. You guys will be making some kind of money you deserve. And I mean, for the people who really deserve it, not the big mouth, loud mouths who, you know, basically, you know, make shit bad for everybody else. So have a safe weekend. Have a barbecue. Have some drinks. And stay sick. We'll catch you on the flip side next Friday night. This is 42nd Street Pete saying, I'm out of here.
Short and sweet with 42nd Street Pete. Only on Jackalope Radio.
Fight!